All of the adults are in here for a reason, not because we couldn't find another class or another teacher, but because of the nature of this subject and the need for us to focus in on the importance of not just thinking about evangelism, but making evangelism more personal to us. We're very good on a large scale sometimes when it comes to evangelism. Sometimes we're good at world missions, but world missions is, it's different. It's different writing a check to help world missions than it is to personally be involved in evangelism with people that we know. And so that's why for the month of April especially, we've said as our theme for April, stand in the gap. That's our theme for the year, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap to take the gospel to people that I know. And so we're spending these Wednesday nights trying to talk about some ways that we can do that. Obviously, we started off with some general thoughts in those first few classes, talking about the fact that that we have a responsibility to take the gospel to the lost world, to everybody that we meet, everybody that we know. Did you get one, Kayla? All right, good deal. What's our motivation in that? How do we motivate ourselves? Give me a four-letter word that would be a good motivation for us in recognizing that we need to get out and teach people the gospel. Love. Is that a good motivator? It caused some of you to get married, didn't it? Notice I said some of you. It caused some of you to get married. It was a motivation for you. It drove you to do something. Does love motivate us as Christians? Did you become a Christian motivated by love? Were you motivated by God's love for you? Do you stand in awe of the love of God? That ought to motivate us, not just to become a Christian, but to live the Christian life. And so we've got, I didn't mention this, but if you've missed any of the classes and want any of the previous pages from pages 1 through 10, those are up here, as well as the folders. They're up here on the table. You can get any of those that you've missed after class tonight. We talked about some hurdles. We talked about some obstacles that we face, maybe excuses that we make sometimes when it comes to evangelism, and talking about how do we overcome those. We cannot allow them to stand in our way, because God said, go and teach the world. So how do I overcome these things that come sometimes stand in my way? And so we talked about some of that. Last week, we talked about the letter A. Last week with the letter A, we talked about we need to awaken to the prospects around us. And I hope you took those last two pages last week, pages 9 and 10, that had the blanks on them and had about 60 categories of people that we meet, to say, okay, these are people that, wow, the souls around me, there's more than I realized. You know, when the guy comes to work on your roof and throws all of those nails down in the driveway when he's working on your roof, he's got a soul, right? You can talk to him about the nails in your driveway, and then you can talk to him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody that we meet, the person in front of you at the checkout line who is a coupon queen and then whips out the checkbook but doesn't have enough checks in the checkbook and now is trying to figure out how to pay for all of this, she has a soul. Don't get mad at her. Invite her to church. Everybody that we meet, so that was last week. Awaken to the prospects around us everywhere we go. Now, two weeks from now, we're going to talk about the letter T. We've got to teach them. But between awakening to prospects and teaching them the letter T is the letter C tonight. And that is, how do we create some opportunities? Okay, so I've woken up, right? Here's all of these souls around me. Now what do I do? Well, I've got to get over here and teach them the gospel. I want an opportunity, but what's in between? And in between is trying to create opportunities, trying to open those doors. It's what Paul asked the church in Colossae to pray for. Colossians 4 and verse 3, Paul asked the church at Colossae, pray that a door might be open for the gospel. Your Bible might not have the word door. Your translation might even have the word opportunity. So Paul was praying that something might create an opportunity. So what we're going to talk about tonight and next week is just some practical, and these are not rocket science ideas, but just some practical things that we can do to try to open doors. You know, we might use terminology today about breaking the ice in a conversation or whatever that might be. How do I get from, wow, this person needs the gospel, to teaching them? How do I navigate that road and create an opportunity to try to teach them? So we're going to divide this into two categories tonight. Go to page 11. No, sorry. What page is this? Page 12. And if you look at page 12 and you look at the top of page 13, here's the two categories we're dealing with in this. The first way that we create these opportunities is just by the way that we live, through distinct living. And then we're going to get tonight, we have to get, don't let me not get tonight to page 13. And then we're going to talk about just deliberate interaction. So the way I live, and then deliberate things that I can do. So does the way I live matter when it comes to teaching somebody the gospel? Does it matter what they see in me before I ever try to teach them? It matters, right? All right, so distinct living. Very quickly, let me go through these 11 thoughts here. What does this mean? If I'm going to have an opportunity to teach somebody the gospel, and that's what we're talking about tonight, creating opportunities. If I'm going to have an opportunity to teach somebody the gospel, then I've got to live a life that is holy. Now, did I say perfect? Does God say you have to be perfect? Anybody in here perfect? Mary Quinn's back there. Mary Quinn's about as close to perfect as you can get. Mary, why are you shaking your head? I don't know, Mary. Anybody in here perfect? Okay, God wants us, what does it mean to be holy? Wow, dead silence. Are you all awake? H-O-L-Y. What does it mean to be holy? Set apart. What does that mean? What does it mean to be set apart? Different. Okay. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where verse 17 and 18, where God says, come out from among them and be, the old King James, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be separate. Be distinct. Be different. If I'm like a chameleon and I blend in with the world, is that going to help me create opportunities to teach the gospel? If I look like everybody else in the world, if there's nothing distinct about my living, well, why is somebody going to care about what I might tell them about Jesus? They've got to see. And so the whole point in this first page tonight is just they've got to see it in me. Number two, in these first few, there's some overlap in these first few, and so I'll admit that to you. But number two, you need to be a real Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul says that you are an epistle. Did you know you are an epistle? Does that hurt? Does that itch? Does it itch to be? What does it mean you are an epistle? Okay, you're an example. What do you do with an epistle? You read it, right? So he says you are an epistle. What does that mean? People are reading you. Did you know people are reading you? What are they reading? You're like, well, I'm not sure. I don't know if I want them to read me. People are reading you, whether you want them to read you or not. Do you think they can spot a real Christian? Do you think they can spot a fake Christian? Think they can tell the difference? They can tell the difference. When they look at you, that guy's real. That guy is real about his. He's not fake. I've seen fakes. I've known fakes. That guy is a genuine Christian. What's our point tonight? Does that help open a door? Does that help create an opportunity if I go to talk to them that I've been a real Christian? Number three, I need to be L-O-V-I-N-G. I need to be loving at how often? Oh, wow. All times? Seriously? All times? John chapter 13, remember what Jesus said? People will know that you are my disciples because you have a necklace on that has a cross on it. And they will know that you are my disciples because that's what you... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but is that what Jesus said? That's how they're going to know? They will know that you are my disciples because you've got... Mike's got... I don't remember when our press-on theme was. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we had that press on theme, right? So he's got a shirt on that says Press On, Palm Beach Slice Church of Christ on the back. So that's what Jesus was talking about, if you wear the shirt, right? What does he say in John 13:35? If you have love for one another. They've got to see that. Not just love for one another. Who does Jesus say we're supposed to love in Matthew 5:44? Love your enemies. Not just love your brethren, love your... What does it mean? What is the Greek word agape love? What does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to be best friends with them? I'm supposed to invite them, you know, to the ball game with me so we can sit there and eat peanuts and Cracker Jacks and all that good stuff because we're best buds? Agape love means I'm looking out for their best interests. And if somebody's lost, what's their best interest? They need the gospel. For me to create an opportunity to get a door open to teach them, I need to be loving towards them. Two verses later, Matthew 5:46 is where Jesus asked the question, if you love those who love you, what reward is that to you? How are you different? Well, somebody was nice to me, so I was nice to them. You know, I mean, it's reciprocal, right? He's like, what's the deal with that? His point is, we need to be loving to people who aren't even loving to us. Have you noticed how that can change a situation when you respond to diffuse a potential blow-up situation, that how you respond can completely diffuse that? That's being a real Christian. That's living a holy life. That is what we're talking about in number 3, being loving at all times. Number 4. Again, there's some overlap here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. When you write down be kind and genuine on your blanks here, go over to Ephesians chapter 4. I hear two people turning their pages. So all of you are using your apps, I'm taking it. So good. Use your apps. Just make some noise with your apps. Never mind. That's a bad, bad, bad idea. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, here's a question for you. When you've been at work, Ivan and Cindy, this doesn't apply to you, or June doesn't apply to you. When you've been at work in the last month, anybody heard any corrupt words proceed out of anybody's mouth in the last month at work? Yeah, really?
Is that, there's a curse jar.
You have a curse jar? That probably fills up in a hurry. They thought it was funny when they put in a $10 bill. How often do you hear corrupt words out of people's mouths? Do you hear it every day? I'm not talking about at work. I'm just in general. I mean, you go to Publix, you go to Aldi, and you hear corrupt words proceed. I mean, it's like you can just be trying to pick out oranges, and somebody's got corrupt words. I'm just like, hello, we're just trying to pick out oranges here. If you don't have corrupt words proceeding out of your mouth, does that make you different? If you've got a curse jar that says, you know what, I don't want cursing around me. If you're going to do that, drop a $10 bill in here. Does that make you different? But what do you do? Instead, whatever is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. When we speak, here's a question for you. Do we impart grace to the hearers? Verse 31, let some of your bitterness be put away from you, but you can keep what you want. Is that what it says? Do you have the word A-L-L? Let all bitterness, you can't keep any of it, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. What else? Forgiving one another. What's our standard? Even as God in Christ forgave you. Do I do that? If I am genuinely kind and patient and tenderhearted and forgiving as God would have me to be, is that going to help me to be holy and different? Yeah, because that's not the way the world looks. Number 5, distinct living involves being enthusiastic about your faith. If you are sad about being a Christian, guess what? Nobody's going to want to hear what you got to say about being a Christian. If you complain about being a Christian, guess what? Nobody wants to hear one word from you about becoming a Christian. But if you are enthusiastic about it, in Acts 4 and verse 13, statement is made about Peter and John. They could tell that these men had been with Jesus. How could they tell? This is months after Jesus ascended into heaven. What do you mean they had been with Jesus? It was still there. Jesus had ascended months earlier, but the impact that Jesus had on their lives, it was still evident. Not because they could smell Jesus on them, not because they were wearing Jesus' t-shirt or something. It's because of the effectiveness, the genuineness, and the enthusiasm of their faith. Do people see that in us? They need to. They need to see that we love being a Christian, that we love going to church, that we love our Christian family. Number six, we need to be humble. You want to be different from the world? Whew, be humble. And this ties back in with number three, agape love. Look out for the needs of others. Romans chapter 12 in verse 3 says, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Do you know anybody who thinks highly of themselves? They think really highly of themselves. They think higher of themselves than anybody else does. You know anybody like that? Don't look around the room. I'm just asking in general. You know anybody like that? You know anybody that's truly humble? Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Does that need to be us? Will people care what I say about Jesus if I'm conceited? Will people care what I think about Jesus if it's always got to be my way? I always have to have my way. It's all about me. On the screen is Luke 18, parable of the Pharisee and the publican. When that Pharisee's over there praying and just so all into himself, does he strike you as a guy who's really good at personal evangelism? Or does he strike you as a guy that's like, don't look at Jesus. What are you doing? Look at me. It's all about me. If I'm truly humble, is that going to help me stand out from everybody else? Is that distinct living? Not fake humble. People spot that. Genuinely humble. Number seven, if I'm going to live a distinct life to where people can see there's something different about me as a Christian, I need to be genuinely interested in other people. Was Jesus genuinely, it's to ask the question is to answer it, right? Was Jesus genuinely interested in other people? He's like the captain of being genuinely interested in other people. How many times when you're reading through the life of Jesus, do you read about occasions where Jesus was trying to go to be by himself, to pray? He's trying to get away after a long day. He's trying to find a place to be isolated, and the crowds continued to, the Bible uses the word throng him. The crowds continued to throng him. And did you ever read about Jesus turning around and say, give me a break already, would you? Like you would have? What did he do? Matthew 9 and verse 35, he looked at the multitudes who were thronging him in verse 35, and verse 36 says, he looked upon them with compassion. He was moved with compassion for them. He genuinely cared about people. That needs to be us. Number eight, you want to be different than the world? Be honest. You know anybody who lies? I mean, I asked you, has anybody at work used any corrupt words, recently? Do you know anybody who's haughty and full of themselves? Do you know anybody who's not honest? If you've still got your Bible in Ephesians 4, what does God tell us to do in verse 22? To put off the old man. Verse 24, put on the new man. What does that look like, verse 25? It looks like putting away lying from among yourselves. I remember my dad telling me that he worked for a guy one time who basically asked him to lie to the customer. and, you know, to doctor the documents, to doctor the invoice a little bit. And I remember my dad saying that he told his boss on that occasion, if I will lie for you, there's nothing to stop me from lying to you. You know anybody who lies to get ahead? You know anybody who lies to avoid consequences? Yes, and we know that. It's true not just for 4- and 5-year-olds, right? That's true for 44- and 45-year-olds and everything in between. Well, being honest, will that help me to stand out and live a holy life? Number 9, be prayerful. Philippians 4. I thought I put Philippians 4 up there today. Apparently I didn't. Philippians 4 and verse 6, if you want to add that to your list. Maybe I put it on the next line. Nope, okay. Is it on your handout? Did I put Philippians 4 and verse 6 on your handout next to being prayerful? Not there. I added it somewhere. Maybe that was in my dream somewhere. All right, so Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. All that's going on in the world today, guess what we need to do? We need to be people who are praying and talking to our God. Number 10, I need to be a student of the Bible. Will that help me to be a good influence? Will that help me to be a good example? Will that help me to live a holy life? Will that help me to be honest? Will that help me to control my tongue? Will that help me to control my pride? Yeah. All of the things before this, numbers 1 through 9, are possible when I feed upon the Word of God, when I write it upon my heart. And then number 11, I need to be a seed scatterer. I don't think that's a word. That's why I put it in quotation marks. I need to be a seed scatterer on what kind of soil? You mean even the bad soil? Even people that don't want it, I'm supposed to try to spread seed on them? In Luke chapter 8, you read Jesus' parable of the soils. Which soil did the sower scatter seed on? All of it? He wasn't very good at his job then, was he? He was wasting seed. If he was good at his job, he would have taken the seed and just put it on the good soil, right? Why waste it on the other soil? Is it hard to tell today who's good soil and who's bad soil? I mean, you might be able to walk out there and see if there's thorns somewhere. You might be able to walk out there and say, no, that's concrete. I know the difference between concrete and green grass. You might be able to do that, but can you look at a person and know their heart? Can you look at a person and say, yeah, no, that person's not going to be receptive. But you look at somebody else, well, this person would be, and it turns out to be just the opposite. You all know Phil Sanders, who's preached here however many times he's preached here. He's the speaker on In Search of the Lord's Way every Sunday morning. And seems like Phil told this here. I've heard Phil tell it in other places, if not here. You all know the name Jeffrey Dahmer, right? You've heard that name. When Jeffrey Dahmer was in prison, Phil Sanders' uncle Kurt mailed a Bible correspondence course to Jeffrey Dahmer in prison. What a waste of a postage stamp, right? I mean, come on. Of all the things you could do, that's why would you mail one to Jeffrey Dahmer? Let me see if I can find this real quick. April 1st, 1994. How long ago was that? 30 years? Okay. April 1st, 1994. Dear Mr. Booth, that's Phil Sanders' uncle. This is signed sincerely Jeff Dahmer, so that you know who the letter's from. Dear Mr. Booth, hello, how are you today? I won't read this whole thing to you. Fine, I hope. Thank you very much for sending me the WBS introductory lesson and Bible. That was very kind of you. I mailed the completed lesson to, and he mentions the person's name, so that she could have it by now. Also, about a week after I received your package, a Mrs., and Mrs. another person's name, from Arlington, Virginia, sent me the WVBS correspondence course. So another lady from Virginia, two people, mailed correspondence course to Jeffrey Dahmer while he was in prison. I filled out both of them, mailed them off to her to be graded. So I've now taken the complete course, but I still, listen, I've taken the complete course, but I still have one problem. This prison does not have a baptismal tank. And Mr. Burkham, the prison chaplain, is not sure if he can find someone to bring a tank in and baptize me. This has me very concerned. Would you be willing to help me find someone to baptize me? I've taken all of the other steps. Now I, underlined, need and want to be baptized. And he was. You want to tell me what kind of soil he was? Well, can soil change? You've changed soil, haven't you? You know, my parents live up in South Carolina. They've got that red Georgia clay stuff. That stuff is hard. That's no fun. It's a lot. You've changed soil, though, right? You've walked out and found hearts, and you've taken your jackhammer and said, "I'm going to put some plants here," and you've changed the soil. You've made it softer for those plants. What are we talking about? This whole page, what we're talking about is creating opportunities. We are trying, even if there is some soil that is hard as a rock. Was Jeffrey Dahmer a hard soil? Was he a wayside soil? Yeah, one time he was. But something changed in his life. Remember what we noted last week as we were talking about this list of 60 categories or more of trying to find people and see people who need the gospel. And we said there's a whole section here about people going through life changes. And when people go through changes in life, guess what that sometimes does? Causes their heart to become tender. Did Jeffrey Dahmer go through some life changes when he got into prison? Causes you to wake up and to find yourself sometimes. I need to live a distinct life so that it can create opportunities for me to teach somebody the gospel. All right, I told Ivan we got to get to page 13. So, page 13. All right, so distinct living, yes, I have to do it, but it's not enough. Distinct living is where I'm living a holy life so that people can see that it's absolutely essential. But it is not sufficient. I've got to come up with ways to, as Paul would say in Colossians 4, to try to open up a door so that the gospel can go through it. I need to try to create these opportunities through some deliberate interaction. So the first, we're going to talk about specific things here tonight and next week. But the first thing that we need to do is we need to pray. And you've got reasons listed there on your sheet why we need to pray. You are doing God's work. Well, shouldn't you talk to Him? It's His work. Shouldn't you talk to Him? You need God's help. Is that true? No. I can do this evangelism thing on my own. He's got more important things to work. No. I need God's help. You will never truly be successful on your own. Talk to God about it. When you see a closed door, is it possible that there may be some opening? Maybe God is creating some opening. Why would Uncle Kurt, why would Phil's Uncle Kurt send a Bible correspondence course to Jeffrey Dahmer? He didn't know if there was an open door. He had heard some things, right? He had maybe concluded some things, but you never know. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight and tomorrow night, or not tomorrow night, but next week, is what are some things that I can do? I'm not teaching these people yet, but I'm just trying to create an opportunity where maybe I'll have an opportunity. And so the only thing I want to talk about tonight is, in order for me to create some opportunities to teach, there are some things that I can give to them. I know that we live in the technological age. I know that we live in the internet age. I know that, some people will say that using paper is a waste. that we ought to go electronic with everything. We're going to talk about electronic stuff next week. But I don't believe that using paper stuff is a waste. I mean, it could be. But I don't believe that using physical things, that you take a physical thing and you put it into somebody's hand, that is not a waste. I believe that the printed page, something on printed paper, can be more valuable and have a greater impact than sending somebody some electronic message. And I want to talk a little bit. We've got about 10 minutes to go through this list tonight. But I want to talk about some things that are very easy for us to use, very easy to give to people. The first thing, we have these out there on the table, and you know about them. The first thing is just this little card. I keep a stack of these in my wallet. These are the easiest things to give out, just the church card. It's got everything they need. It's got the QR code on the back to take you to our website, but our address, phone number, service times, all they need is, and this is super easy. When you're talking, hey, you know what? I just want to let you know, I just want to invite you to church, right? You know, I go to church, it's just so easy to take it out, gives, and you just keep going. It takes 5 seconds. I didn't time it. Maybe 7 seconds. It doesn't take hardly any seconds at all to whip one of these out and to give it to somebody. Now, in addition to that, and something that, can I get my guys back up here? Or maybe some new guys, or same guys. Something that you have not seen yet, because it was just created, but is, okay, this is a, yeah, for now, Jackie, you can get more later. So this is business card size, but it's an invitation, and I thought about putting the image on the screen, but I didn't do it. It's a business card size, and you can look at it. It's just a little invitation card. And it just says, hey, you are invited, with the QR code on the front, gets them to our website, gives them the information they need on the bottom of the card. The back side of the card has service times and has, here's some things that we have available at the church and a place for you to write more if you want, and a place on the back to invited by you write your name. So maybe you use the business cards, or maybe you take some of these and you write your name on the bottom of some of these so that when the person shows up or they come, oh, I was invited by, I can't remember their name, but they looked like this. Well, they've got their name right there. So same kind of concept as a little business card, but just a little invitation card. Now, in addition to these, what have we had out in the lobby for the last couple weeks for Friends and Family Day? Those little 4x6 cards. Super easy to use, right? Little invitation cards to give to people, to invite them to come. And we try to have Friends and Family Day a couple times a year. It's super easy to just, hey, we've got something going on. We're going to talk more about this next week, too. We've got something going on at the church. Just want to invite you to come down. Can I tell you something about these cards? They're not here tonight. Do you know why Joel and Jessica Ramirez are members of this church? Do you know why they're Christians today? Because some member of this church, and I wish I knew who, doesn't matter, some lady, I know it was a lady, so it narrows it down. Some lady in this church was standing outside of Publix 6 or 7 something years ago. Was passing out. It was back in the year, remember the year, it was 2018, where every second Sunday of the month, throughout the year was a Friends and Family Day. So we always had cards for the second Sunday of the month. So it was during that year. So she was passing out the second Sunday of the month invitation cards to whatever that Sunday was. And Joel and Jessica were coming out of Publix. And one of our ladies handed them one of these cards. And they were nice enough to take it from this nice Christian lady. Didn't have any interest in it. But they were nice. Put it in their Publix bag and went home. Unpacked the grocery bags, put the cereal with the cereal, put the milk with the milk, you know. Oh, here's this card. What are we going to do with this card? Well, what are most people going to do? File 13, we're going to toss it. I don't want to throw that away. Put it up on a shelf. Can't throw it away, we'll just put it up on a shelf. few months later, stuff was going on. And Joel and Jessica said, you know what? We need to go to church. We need to find a church to go to. Wait a minute. That lady gave us a card. Where's that? Where'd you put that card? Went over to the shelf. Now, that second Sunday had already passed. We weren't doing that, but it didn't matter, because the information for the church was still on it. And they came. Why? Because somebody took a piece of paper that you might think is a waste, took a piece of paper and handed it to them. Is that something I can do to create opportunities? All right, we got eight more. We got to move, right? Number three, give them a Bible tract. All right, Ivan just loaded up another table out in the lobby. Ivan and I didn't see who helped you. I know Ivan didn't do it by itself, although he could have. Now, did you notice when you came in, there's like four tables of tracts out there. You all need to empty those tables tonight. We got Ladies' Day tomorrow, okay? We're not sharing those with the ladies tomorrow. Those are for you all right? So, empty those. But now, not all of those tracts are good for evangelism, right? There's some out there that, you know, are good for you, but not good for evangelism. But there's a little table that Ivan just put out here that has good tracts, and some of those out there are good Bible tracts. So now you're taking it up a level, okay? It's not just an invitation, not just a little information card about the church. Now you're taking it up a level to, here's something I'd like you to read. And as we talked about Joe Crockett on Sunday, we ought to say to them, here's something I'd like you to read, and just let me know what you think about it. Just ask them to come back and tell you what they think about it. Number four, not just a Bible tract, but what about a Bible bookmark? We made some of these. We keep them out in the lobby. They're also on that table that Ivan just put out there. And you can get bookmarks anywhere. But we made these bookmarks several years ago that on one side says what Jesus did for you and why, and the other side says what Jesus expects of you and why. It has the whole plan of salvation, how to teach somebody what Jesus did and what Jesus wants. How about carrying these around? Again, you're stepping up your game a little bit from the little card to a little bit more information, but it lets them know what's critical to their soul. What about a copy of the church bulletin? What if you go to work on Monday and say, hey, I was at church yesterday and picked up an extra bulletin. Would you like one? End of conversation. That's all you're doing. Just, hey, I got an extra bulletin at church yesterday. Would you want a copy? And if you all start doing that, we'll have to start printing more. But we'll print more. Because what an easy thing. I was just at church. You want a copy? I got an extra copy of the bulletin. And all that is just, you know, we say breaking the ice. It's just trying to create an opportunity where perhaps you can walk through with the gospel one day. Number six, give them a printed article. Maybe you're on Apologetics Press website. Maybe you're on Christian Courier. Maybe you're on our website. We've got, I think at last count, we've got like 40 trillion articles on our website or something like that. Cindy counted that many. She's good at helping with numbers like that. But we've got, maybe you find some on our website that's helping. You just print it off. Again, we'll talk next week about you can just send them a link. I know that. But there's something about that printed page. Remember Joel and Jessica? They couldn't throw it away. Do you know why what they have found? And why does Robert Martin use track packs still everywhere he goes in mission work? Because some people have a hard time throwing away printed page. They'll delete your email all day long. They'll ignore your text all day long. But they have a hard time. Have you, and I don't want you to point any fingers, and maybe it's you. You know, I was parked next to somebody's car at Culver's a few weeks ago. Wasn't one of you. It looked like they had never thrown anything away, just looking at their front seat. And so I was thinking, no, I could give them some tracks, you know, to add to their collection of things, because people have a hard time throwing things away. What might happen if something happens in their life and they're like, wait a minute, where was that piece of paper? Where was that thing that lady gave to me? Number seven, what about giving them a copy of a Brotherhood periodical? We keep copies of House to House, Heart to Heart. These are awesome to pass out to people. We've got stacks of them out there. This is great. We not only mail these out to folks around here, we've got extra copies out there. Easy thing for you to take and use. We get Reason Revelation. We get the Kids Magazine, which is even my favorite. I like the Kids Magazine Discovery from AP. But we keep copies of these out there, not only for us, but they're easy to take, easy to use, easy to pass out. Number eight, I kept this. I almost took this off because who uses DVDs anymore? Not very many people, but we still keep Searching for Truth DVDs out there because some people still are using the DVD players. Number nine, what about a good book? Again, we're stepping up our game here. We've gone from a little card to a bookmark to a track, to a whole periodical. To what about a book? A book from AP on reasons to believe? You can get these for like $4 or $5. Here's some reasons to believe in God, reasons to believe in Jesus, reasons to believe the Bible is from God. Give them something solid on Christian evidences or something about the church or something about going back to the Bible. We keep just printed copies of these out in the lobby, 28-page little book to help people go back to the Bible. You're kind of upping your game with each of these. And then finally, what do we do sometimes? We put Bibles out there. And so in a few weeks, probably, we're going to put some of these AP Bibles out there. AP has printed, Apologetics Press has printed these New King James Bibles with, I don't know how many pages, I haven't counted the study pages that are in the back, but 50 or so study pages that are in the back of the Bible. And you remember we've used other paperback Bibles that we put out there. So just one more thing you can take and use. Several years ago, we used these little New Testaments. You can still order these. I wish they didn't cost, it's like $7.50 or $8 now. I can't remember what it is. I wish it didn't cost that much, but it's what it costs. If these are appealing to you, go to Star Bible. The Star Bible website, I think, is where starbible.com. And you can order some of these yourself. But again, all we're doing with these, we're just trying to give something to somebody that might create an opportunity, an open door for me to walk through with the gospel. There's nothing up here that we can't do. All of this is something that all of us can do. That's how simple this can be. Thank you all very much for being here tonight.